Okay. Call to order the Joint Emergency Communication Services Association Policy Board meeting of Friday, March 23rd, 2018. Recognize alternates. I'm not sure who's alternate and who's assigned now at the start of the new year. So
Kurt took over for Ron.
Okay, so Kurt, welcome.
Yes. New assigned.
Okay.
So no alternates.
Okay. Good to go. Number two, need approval of the minutes of the December 15th, 2017.
Second.
Moved by Wilson, second by Hoffman. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Comments from the public? I don't see any public. Looks like we can move on. Number four, executive director's update.
Did a little somewhat lengthy one with a couple months off, but some of the high points. January, met with Washington County. They came up to discuss funding options as they are exploring a new communication system and possibly communication center down in Washington County. So we met with them and talked to them about the supplemental levy, the essential service bonding, some of the ways that we funded our system and stuff. And because they had an RFP kind of out on the street, they really didn't want to discuss kind of in-depth about radio system discussions, which is understandable, but I did extend to them verbally in person. You know, they hear from their consultant and they hear it via email, but did extend that we would like them to connect through us and join the Sarah system and add another partner onto the system. So they did appreciate hearing that from us, and so as they go through their bids, hopefully one of the vendors will bid that solution. So they, like I said, they got a lot of information out of the meeting and were pleased, so hopefully that goes in the right direction. Then later on that afternoon, I presented the budget to the operating budget for FY19 to the Board of Supervisors. Do that annually in January after the board approves it. And also presented them some statistics out of the annual report and provided them a copy with that. Answered any questions they had, and everything went good there. They appreciated the very minimal increase that we had in the budget. Actually, it was a decrease over the previous year, but that was one of the comments. So it was good to see that we were staying normal, relative level. E911 board meeting was in January as well. Usually kind of the high points out of that is the good news is they're still able to fund what they've been funding in the past. So JEXA's, everything we budgeted for any percentages of like the maintenance increase stuff, that will be accurate because they were able to cover all the other remaining items that we didn't budget for as usual. They also agreed to outlay some funds going forward for a digital paging system. It will be an upgrade to our current BHF paging system. It will, in the end, it's going to result in faster notification times as well, because the digital paging will come out of, be part of CAT. And so when dispatchers pin the calls before they're dispatched, those digital pagers are going to start to get that CAD call via text delivery over it, and then they'll also be notified. So we're going to get the ball rolling probably between anywhere from 30 to 90 seconds sooner than what we have been. Iowa City is one that's probably going to benefit from it quite a bit as well because of their times and their accreditation. So while it will benefit everybody in the county, it's also going to improve some of the time issues they've had in their accreditation stuff in the past. So it should be a good solution for everybody all around. And again, E911 is going to fund that upgrade. That we're probably looking at 2 to 3 years out for that. So it'll be about a 3-year outlay. And then some of the, we'll discuss some of the money that Raycom will provide to us because of the 8% discount from Black Hawk County coming on, using some of that funds to offset that project. So we'll talk about that as that time comes and when those funds, we wouldn't see any of that money until after FY19 and into FY20. January 25th, I was put down there. I had to go to Des Moines to testify for the Ped Mall shooting to the 911 calls received at the JEX. That was kind of interesting to go there and participate in a homicide trial, but fairly easy, painless. But again, had to make the trip over there because they did change the venue. So the county attorney does like someone from here coming and testifying to 911 calls in the major cases. And so some one of us usually gets the short straw to do that. February 20th, the Linn County Governance Board meeting. One kind of item that came out of that was sharing of spare radio system parts. JEC has some spare parts for our radio system that sit on the shelf, some of the key critical ones that have a long lead time. Obviously, we get them replaced by Harris within 1 to 2 business days in the event one fails and we have to use it. But in that time, for those critical pieces, we've stocked those because we didn't want that part to be down while we're waiting for the replacement. So we've had some of those parts. Well, now that we're on the same version of system as Linn County, Linn County's looking at some spare parts. And JEC has some additional spare parts that we have started to look at. E911 would be paying for these. But we've talked about Linn County was sharing some of those resources. So instead of both buying the same part, we're going to have later on, we'll have the SARA agreement. So as we solidify our partnership and sharing resources, we talked about part sharing. And there was an instance back on February 19th where Linn County had a couple parts fail and they had to use Johnson spares. It took 2 channels off the system, off the air up there. And so they, if we didn't have those parts, they'd have been down those 2 until, you know, they could have been replaced. So it already kind of, we showed them how that worked. We loaned them ours, and the new parts came in, and the parts came to us and put back on our shelf from Harris. So as they saw that work, they thought that'd be a good idea. So we discussed that, and they took it to their E911 board because that's who would be funding their parts as well, and they agreed to that. So that's something that I'm going to work on next next week in a meeting is going through what spare parts each county should buy instead of having a overlap and stuff.
Tom, is that the reason they wanted to bypass, or was that a software upgrade issue that the system that, up there wanted to bypass?
That was the software. They just lost on that on 19th. They lost 2 PAs, which are the each channel.
So that's why they wanted to bypass.
Yeah, so they lost 2 channels.
So how quickly did the part get up there from here to there? A couple of hours? Who delivers them?
Yeah, a couple. Once they made the call and the Raycom engineers talked, their guy, Eric, talked to our guy, Randy, and said, hey, you know, and he says, yeah, we have that part. They came and got it and got it going. Yeah, it was only like a 2-3 hour downtime altogether. But it was just 2 channels. So it wasn't like they were down. They have 13. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they've ever known what it'd be like to operate on 11. I'm sure it would have been fine. But you know, again, they still treated it critical and came down and rushed and got the parts. But
yeah, I was thinking of it from a timing standpoint. You know, a day versus 2 hours.
No, we actually are less than a day. Yeah, so, okay. So anyway, that's just good. Again, another good example of having the parts and sharing. And they don't have a spare part cache, and we do here. So we've bought that over time through the beginning. A couple of our parts, our antennas, we have a 90-day lead time on one of our antennas, and so we have one of those because you'd be down 90 days otherwise. In March, we got finished implementing a new scheduling software here. This is kind of I know Brandon and Todd were the most pleased with this, but it's a web-based schedule. North Liberty uses it, and we were taking a look at it, and it's a cheap, easy solution. To manage the schedule. Right now they're doing it on an Excel spreadsheet, and we're using a web page internally that would manage the time off request, but then somebody had to go put it to paper and make sure they got it from the computer system to the paper system. But anyways, you can tell this one now has a more efficient way to manage the schedule. Someone calls in or we're approving time off. As we plug it in, it goes and tells us, hey, you need a person for these 4 hours. So instead of doing it all by hand now and spending much time, this system now is built out to show us when we approve this time off, it'll say, do you need to fill time that day or you don't? If you do, you need to fill 2, 4, 8 hours. So pretty slick to look at. And then you just click on the button and it posts it, and the employees can either volunteer or for that overtime, or if it comes down
to
being
forced. So how does that work? Does Iowa City have access to that? Since they're going to be doing the payroll and that stuff, they're going to be taking over. How does that work? Do you just send them the data electronically and they're able to do it, or do they have to have full access to that system, or how does that work?
So the payroll side of it is what we haven't 100% seen or tested yet. We're going to spit out, for April is kind of going to be the demo month. We're going to run them both. We have it all set up now. So April's going to kind of be the start. We're going to see what that payroll port looks at. If that's something that Iowa City can utilize, then we will just print that port electronically, scan it over, and they'll go off of that.
Oh, okay.
It'll essentially be a timesheet's what it does. It doesn't really do payroll. It does more of a timesheet. And right now they're doing a timesheet in Excel, and we then take that data and manually enter it into another master spreadsheet for the accountant. So we're hoping it'll simplify it, but again, until I can see this report, Iowa City may say, yes, I'll use this, or just keep doing it your old way. Right now, they've agreed to the old way because that's what we shared with them initially.
Okay.
So we're hoping we stream. If anything, it'll just be streamlining.
Right.
If they like the new way. So anyway, that's been set up. We're ready to go. Like I said, we're going to kind of run both systems in April, get the employees used to it, and go. Anytime, anywhere they have a web browser, they can now approve for time off, sign up for overtime. Just be a much more efficient way to do it. So on March 13th, the encryption went live. So we are now live on all law enforcement talk groups being encrypted in the county. So the media was notified 30 days in advance that, as I told them I would do. And then in 90 days now from that date, we are going to sit back down with them, just kind of reevaluate, because each department kind of put in a process for how to get information, obtain information now, and just verify that that process is working. If there's any other changes we need to do or to make the flow of information to the media easier, then we'll reevaluate at that time. But so we're live as of now.
Yep.
And isn't there something either in the legislature or maybe got passed about encrypting some of this information? Because they're talking about medical information. I thought I'd seen something in the press.
That was different. That was talking about HIPAA-related disclosure on 911 recorded calls and
okay.
release. I wasn't talking about real-time radio.
Okay, it was just more talking about the FOIA stuff.
Yep,
okay.
Correct.
Gotcha.
More after the fact.
Okay.
Tom, do you have any idea, like, since we encrypted, how many requests for information on calls we've gotten, or the, maybe the departments have gotten from the media?
So I'd have to check with the departments because that they have not shared. I have gotten no request, but we also told them that meeting we gave them kind of the points of contact to who to call. So it wouldn't be surprised they're not calling me because we told them it'd be the agencies would release that information. I haven't heard. We got one email here from a citizen in Solon. I know, I think Susan was on that email, and then the board of supervisors got the email. And I can all share that with you guys. We got it earlier this week, just about someone from Solon. That was not pleased with the encryption, hoped that it'd be reevaluated in the 90-day period, and it says he's on the Solon CERT team, and I guess that is an active team, but it's not utilized very often.
Well, it's irrelevant whether it's a, I mean, he wouldn't need access to that.
I don't even know what is that?
It's the Community Emergency Response. It's a volunteer organization. It helps out during floods and other disasters.
Well, I've never even heard of it.
So can't help you there. We've used them multiple times since 2007.
Really?
Yeah, we used them to help sandbag and do logistics during the 08 floods.
Easy getting old, is it?
Or it's getting easier since you were
It's one of those things I take care of, so don't worry about it.
You drive with your blinker on still, too, don't you?
There's no reason for them to.
My car cancels those.
Yeah,
my plan would be just to reply and let him know where we're at, where he came from, the release we sent out, all that information that we provided, why, and just tell him that we received his email and it will be kept, and when we meet in 90 days we'll reevaluate everything and that'll be how it is. But I will share with him the reasons we sent out to the press and that press release on why and how we got to the decision. And that kind of will be the reply. So this week, we sent three dispatchers to CIT training. I think we all know in the room what that is, the crisis intervention training. It is the one that's secured where they're training the local law enforcement, but a year ago, Brandon has sat through it to kind of evaluate what parts of this would be beneficial to dispatch. You know, yes, it's 5 days. Each day there's maybe a little bit here and there, but they haven't developed a local training that's dispatch geared. I know I mentioned it to Jessica, and she's on board with it, but she said right now the resources wouldn't be there to possibly get departments to allow that staff, you know, give them overtime for another 3 days to teach again outside of the regular CIT. So what we're doing right now until something can be changed is we're just sending our staff to the full CIT, and if there's a little bit each day they're taken out of, which they are, then that's how we're going to handle it going forward. We've committed up to three people per week per session, And they're going to have two sessions scheduled this year in 2018. So we'll have six staff members trained by then. If they stay on that pace, by the time after July 1st, we have 27 staff members. You know, we should be trained in the next 5 to 6 years, probably everybody trained. But as of right now, if we can get six a year going, that's good. The comments we received back, the three that are there, one has been sending us some updates. She likes it, said it's great, said she's gotten the pieces out of it. Obviously said, yes, I can see what this is law enforcement gear, but she's seeing kind of the pieces that we identified that you would get out of it as a dispatcher. We said, you know, the whole 8 hours, you may get 1 hour, but if that 1 hour gets you, you know, something. So anyway, they're there now, and that's our plan going forward. I know this group has been committed to that training with their agencies, and so just to let you know, we are participating as well. APCO NENA conferences was this week in Des Moines, so the three of us, Brandon, Todd, and I, were over there on Monday and Tuesday. And kind of I'll jump ahead one, because Jeff can kind of help me. We haven't had a lot of chance to talk this week on the roof, but I'll come back to that one. Couple savings costs I just wanted to throw out. I put in the bottom of my report. We had to get new insurance carrier here for our liability and property insurance. I found out that we were tied to the city's insurance under One Beacon. And when they canceled with their policy to move to a different carrier, that in turn canceled us because One Beacon only wrote us because they had the city's contract within the county. So that was something I don't think any of us knew. That was probably a Mike, when Mike set that up, he might have known, but we're talking 2009. So we moved forward on that, and we got a new carrier. It actually resulted in a 2.5% decrease in cost for us. So we are going to stay you know, a little bit under budget what we thought for the next year. And actually, I think we like some of the resources this carrier provides. It's the same carrier that Scott County's Communication Center uses. They kind of specialize in this area. It's a unique carrier to for communication centers. And it's a nationally known company. It's VFIS. So they were able to cover everything we had, actually give us a little better coverage. And we saved 2.5%. And the second item was, although this doesn't come out of JEC's budget, we did renegotiate the generator maintenance agreement that 911 covers, and we got a 2.5% decrease over 5 years on that as well. So again, that's going to keep that cost for another 5 years basically flat or a little bit lower than what we've been paying. So 10 years of at the same cost.
So does this mean that you went some period of time without coverage?
No.
The one that got canceled and the new one?
No, it butted up against each other. Yep.
And does that insurance have to be renewed annually, or does it just go on until
it is? It's
canceled.
It's a renewal that we sign every year. It's basically the, you know, when we budget the money to approve it, we're approving the renewal.
Okay.
And so then to go back to the roof. So just this week before the meeting, the consultant got back. Jeff really hasn't had a chance. I sent it to him, but we haven't had a chance to really review the drawings or have a conversation with her. She just emailed us the drawings real fast and said, here's three drafts that we're looking at. I wanted to get Jeff's opinion on looking at them and see what it would require, you know, to go back to the contractor with those recommendations, if we'd have any issues with that or anything that this board would need to approve to before we took it back to the contractor. But again, he just had a chance to look at that, so maybe we can talk about that a little bit, and if we think it's fine, then we can just operate within the rework agreement the board approved and just submit our recommendation to the contractor. Do you have anything you want to add? Or
the rework agreement contemplated probably some flexibility because we weren't exactly sure what we were going to see until it was opened up, and so I don't know that we need a new agreement by any stretch of the imagination. But it's more of a, what do we think is appropriate, and is this something the contractors are willing to do?
So she gave us three solutions that look like they're much more in-depth solutions than what were there. Obviously have solutions to address keeping the water from even getting down below the slab and in the parapet. So as we get working on those, I'll definitely keep you guys up to date, but it looks like we're finally getting down the path of a permanent solution.
Remind us then, and also for Kurt's benefit as a new member of the board, are there any expenses by us for this repair, or is it all covered under a warranty or an insurance claim?
So the contractor in the rear agreement has agreed to make it right. And if that's, and then the solution was they gave us an opportunity in the rear agreement to hire a third-party engineer, which JEXA did last year, and we incurred that cost to hire that engineer. With going back and getting it later is, you know, different, but we paid that up front. Got a recommendation from this engineer to permanently fix this roof, and we were, once we got that, we were supposed to present that to the contractors doing the rework agreement, because they said if we're going to fix it, we'd rather just get in here and fix it once, fix it right. So we paid for that third-party recommendation to get the correct solution there for them to implement. That is what we are now going to go back to that contractor with, is this solution, and say, here's what JEXA wants implemented to permanently fix our roof.
Sure, so it's a warranty or de facto warranty.
So what they did is essentially they've covered it. We were out of warranty, but since we had the issues reported before the warranty was over, it all retro back into that original original notice to them that the roof was leaking under warranty. So, yeah, to give you history, it's been leaking pretty much since we moved in.
At least, you know, background story.
Yeah, to try to identify it has been a nightmare, but once they opened it up, patched what was the rivets that were puncturing the rubber membrane causing the leak, once that's all been repaired, that section of the roof has still been open now for over a year waiting to go back and forth on us, but we haven't had a leak since. So we know that as we assumed has fixed it. Now, how do you correctly put the roof back on so you don't have that those rivets puncture again or whatnot? So.
That said, this is the high time when it usually starts.
Yeah.
I mean, the free problem, it's usually March 1.
Yeah, the freeze thaw.
We're right at the cycle for it.
And we've made it through one, and we're going on our second year of it. So, yeah. Like I said, we made it through 1 year with it. This will be the second freeze thaw.
Exactly.
So,
what time is this thing starting tonight?
Yeah. Midnight to noon.
And that's it. So, unless there are any questions, it's a mouthful.
Yeah. Any questions? Okay. Move on to item number 5. Discussion of the fiscal year 2017 financial audit from Anderson Larkin.
Okay. And so usually this is in January. I mean, he was prepared in January, but that was the only thing on the agenda. So we had canceled that meeting, and then tax season got ahead of him. So, of course, he's in the brunt of tax season, so he wasn't able to make it today. But I pasted a little comment he put in there. It's basically the same report, same presentation he had in the past. There were no changes, no deficiencies, no anything different. His comment was, I believe everything's pretty similar compared to the past. I wouldn't have much to talk about that we haven't already touched base on the past couple of years. Depreciation always makes the full accrual part of your financials look horrible, but from the fund or modified cash basis, you guys are doing well and are in a good position. So that was a comment that he emailed me that I told him I'd put in the packet. On behalf of him, you have a PDF copy, and then I just handed you your hard copy of the packet. He said he would be here in June. The next meeting, if we want to hear from him in June in person. Otherwise, he told me to extend as usual, give you his email and his contact information. If anybody's had any additional questions as in the past, please feel free to reach out to him, and he would address those. But other than that, everything was good. So that's all the comments that we had on the audit.
No action needed?
No, never has in fact. It's just just to hear him give you the copy of the report and read through it.
And they brought up the same segregation of duties thing that we haven't really been able to address since day one, right?
Yes, only that they have, recognized and accepted the solutions where I emailed Susan. Yeah. So it'll always be noted, but they have recognized the process that we've put in place. Yeah. While they, yeah, segregation would be the best answer, hire more people, but they've recognized our solution. Yep, and that, he said, we'll see that.
Ongoing with a small organization.
Yep, correct.
But, all the time.
But by at least handing off some of the things that the bills and the expense reports, that's addressed their concerns if someone was seeing it.
Item number 6, action to approve resolution 2018-01, amending the JEXA bylaws.
Yes, the bylaws. So this would be, this is the approval of the amendment that from 6-2 that I brought up in December that will add the North Liberty Fire Department to the UAC. At the December meeting, we had to provide 30 days before we could amend the bylaws officially per Article 14 of the bylaws. So, and that, like I said, the original notice was given on December 17th of 2017, and so this would just be the formal approval of adding that, having that language in the bylaws.
Do we have a motion?
I just had one question before we vote. Hey, Lonnie, on this Iowa Service Board thing, it only lists 5 of the 6 law enforcement entities. Is that right? Or, I mean, University Heights Police Department's not mentioned on there. I just didn't know if that was a miss early on that we needed to clean up, or if there was a reason for that.
I don't honestly know.
Okay.
Oh, because they do come to the UAC.
Yeah, but, I mean, this talks about, you know, basically the NCIC piece. This was the Iowa, the...
Yeah, that's under the NCIC committee.
Yeah.
They weren't...
We call it something else.
I thought they were listed.
We call it... List 5 law enforcement entities, but...
What article?
6.1, I think. 6.3. Iowa System Management Committee.
Yes.
The Iowa System Management Committee shall be a separate entity, blah, blah, blah. 5 directors, sheriff, chief of police, Iowa City, chief of police, Coralville, chief of police, North Liberty, director of public safety at the University of Iowa. And basically just has to relate to that. I didn't know if there was a reason or if it was just something that we missed way back when that we needed to fix, or...
It may have been missed. I have no idea. I don't even remember it.
Okay.
I mean, I knew because I'd had a conversation with Steve recently about it, but so I knew it was there, but I never paid attention to it.
It might be, and it may just be the University of Iowa and U Heights flipped around, because we don't manage University of Iowa's ORI. That's related to our ORI and being able to run NCIC, and since we run NCIC for those 5 law agencies, they have to make up that committee, because they are in turn responsible for certified users having the radio programming, the NCIC accessing computer systems.
So my question was, why is University Heights not?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it not the same?
No.
Would it not be the same as Campus PD?
They are separate from the UAC. That is just for NCIC, but they may need added. I think it may be University of Iowa comes off and they get, because UI has their own ORI. We don't manage their NCIC traffic.
So would it be appropriate to swap those two then instead of...
Or should we vote, either delay this or vote on it now to get North Liberty on, knowing that we may need to come back and amend it?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Because we're going to have to do 30 days again anyway for an amendment.
Yep.
So,
just
okay.
Just vote on this.
Yeah.
The second bylaw has to come forward.
And we'll just change do another bylaw change for
if
that.
If we need to.
Okay, if we need to. Yeah, that's probably a good catch, because U Heights does sign that document that goes hand in hand with this. I get a document from the state every year.
I'll make the motion to approve the North Liberty edition.
Move from Lundell.
Second.
Second by Freeze. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
All right, that passes. Item number 7, action to approve resolution 2018-02, approving agreement with the City of Iowa City for bookkeeping and payroll services. Did Jeff and I need to recuse ourselves from this?
Oh, that profit you're making.
It just dawned on me that...
I mean, I think we're all aware of it. Unless there's anything you want to have a discussion, I'll make a motion to approve it. I mean, it's a really good deal for...
Yeah, I mean, even if you guys don't, I think it's going to pass.
I assume it is. I just, you know.
Y'all are outnumbered.
Yeah, if you guys can mark it.
Yeah, maybe Jeff. Yeah, Jeff and I probably shouldn't vote. So.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Pokrovic, second by Wilson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Noted that Fruin and Mims are abstaining.
Yep.
Potential conflict.
Yep.
I don't know if it really is, but we'll be on the safe side.
The perception.
Yeah, the perception. No, I'm glad this could work out, though. I'm glad that, you know, save Jack some money, and we've got the infrastructure at the city that can help out, so glad that worked. So, all right. Moving on, then. Item number 8, action to approve resolution 2018-03, Sarah Board 28E agreement.
Okay, and this item, again, this was the one that's brought, you guys approved the draft to go forward back in November of last year, but by the time it circulated through the 3 entities in Linn County and finally got decided by all the attorneys up there how it should actually go through, and it was determined that each of the entities should sign it in Linn County, not the RGB as a group. So we would be entering the agreement with each of those three entities. That way, if any of those three entities ever backed out of it, the RGB itself was not tied to it. So, because those three make up the RGB. So anyway, a bunch of confusing stuff, but then also by the time they got their comments through, and in the end, the agreement basically went through without any real substantive language changes. So you're basically seeing the same agreement that you saw, but now everybody is finally on board. So we're going to prove it, or hope to prove it first, and then we'll sign and send it up there to them on Tuesday, and they will start circulating it amongst their entities. So... again, it's there's really, like I said, as they've read too, there's nothing we're really binding ourselves to here. Anybody can leave at any time. There's no ramifications from leaving. It's just basically memorializing our partnership that Linn and Johnson started this. And so each additional member that comes on in the future is going to come on via that addendum. And so that they can't really change the terms of the this initial agreement. It's Linn and Johnson's partnership. And if you come on, you come on via addendum, and that we're going to establish a group that's just going to do policies and procedures. All issues are brought back to this local board for approval. Like if Johnson County doesn't, if we don't agree with one of the things, I bring it back here, and then I take it back and say, no, Johnson County's board says we want it this way, or we'd like to propose this. There's really no authority given to the board members. It's mainly just to create policy and procedure and oversee that that's happening and that all agencies are keeping up on maintenance. Etc. So,
will it have to be just redone if Linn County does their complete consolidation where they go to one entity and they have a board similar to this? Will it have to be redone then?
Possibly, unless they still operate unless they operate on RGB, but I bet they'll do one board, okay. A new board, but that'd hopefully be, 3 years away, maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
It could be a little bit. But at least for now, this is a big hurdle. I think as we've all talked about in the past, this is the first step to getting now policies working on this joint system. We all have our own local, but to make everybody play together that's going to be on the shared system.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Moved by Kravick.
Second.
Second by Hoffman. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, passes. Any other business?
Our next meeting is in June.
It'll be 22nd.
I may be out of town.
Okay.
I will be out of town. I'll be on vacation. Entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I heard about 3 or 4. So pick your name.
It was 1 second and start backward.
So Freeze and then Hoffman.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good snowy weekend.